This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Cameron Teague of the Courier-Journal there in beautiful Louisville, KY, will make his debut on the program coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, Wes. We look forward to it.
Absolutely. We'll get to some of your phone calls, more on statues and maybe important games at 844-SAY-ACCN before we're done as well. We're going to go through the most important games here at the top of the hour in the Coastal Division. And remember now, we do have a decent ground rule about this. These are the games that our group put together. Mark and I may agree. We may disagree. Pac may have one. I may have a different one. We may have three different important games for some schools. But we'll start in alphabetical order. I'm sorry, Hokie fans. That means you'll be last. And we're going to start with Duke. And we just had Nekhi Montgomery on here. And we talk about Kansas on the 25th. I'm going to throw it back. I'm going to counter here. I think the opener at Charlotte, I know Duke won handily a year ago. But if I'm David Cutcliffe with the disappointment of the way last year ultimately went, I want to start good. I want to have a win on opening night. I don't want to have a fight on my hands. I want to go down there, have Gunnar Holmberg execute, the defense play well. I want to walk out of there with a big win, or else I don't know what to think.
I think there's some winnable games in the month of September if you're Duke, so I'm not going to pick any of those. I'm going to go North Carolina just because, number one, it's your arch rival. Number sure. two, you can make life miserable. And if you're a Duke fan, you know what? Nothing would be better than to ruin a North Carolina football season. So I'm going to go North Carolina for Duke. First weekend in October. But, again, there are games in September. I think that if you're a Blue Devil fan, you expect to win some.
Yeah. Kansas, I get. Bad program in the Big 12. No thump whatsoever. Last time an ACC school saw them, they beat Boston College on a Friday night in what was Steve Adazio's final year.
And I would say one thing. Anytime I see Duke and Kansas, the first thing I want to think about is, hey, is that game at Cameron? Or are we going to the fog? I mean, no disrespect to Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium and the garbage which has become Kansas football. But I would love to see Duke and Kansas moving forward, a little home-and-home series in hoops. That's just my 2 cents worth.
I agree with that. By the way, the last time Kansas visited the Fable Horseshoe on the West Campus, I did the game, and Duke is still scoring on Charlie Weiss. That's all I want to add in on that.
You know what? You can't knock Charlie Weiss, because I used to make fun of him, and now I think he's one of the all-time greats. I mean, anybody that can get paid seven figures at two institutions at the same time,
three.
Not to be there.
Three.
Make it three.
What?
That is, let me think, that is something we should all excel for. Hey, you're going to pay me how much not to come to work? That would be beautiful. Where do I sign up for that?
Yeah.
So good for Charlie Weiss.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And once again, this is where we remind people you weren't suspended the last 2 weeks. You were actually sick.
Just ill.
I mean, you weren't suspended with pay the last 2 weeks.
No,
you were ill.
Okay. I have said for 20-some-odd years the goal of every American worker is to be suspended with pay. It should be the goal of everybody who has a job. You know what? They're going to pay me not to come to work today. It doesn't get any better than that.
All right, good. Let's go to Georgia Tech. They're next. Our staff identifies the Georgia game. On a schedule like this, I tell you, they all got a thump in them, though. The last game, clean old-fashioned hate, matters. Absolutely matters. If Georgia Tech doesn't win another one and they win the last one, it'll be okay. I can pinpoint something with almost every game, though, for Georgia Tech, Pac, including at Clemson, North Carolina in September, Pittsburgh, at Duke, I mean, at Virginia. You name it. I think they're all big for the Jackets. Just in the, I don't know that I can isolate one for any particular reason.
This is a filthy schedule. This is tough. But I'm going to agree with Georgia. I think that if you're a Georgia Tech fan, and if I said to you, hey, listen, this is going to be a nightmare, but you get to pick one.
One. That's the one they're picking.
This is the one you select. So I'm going to say that the Georgia Bulldogs will be the biggest deal on Georgia Tech's schedule.
No question. It always is. Less than 20 wins against the Dogs. since 1966. A lot of experience, a lot of excitement coming back. Kirby Smart's going to have a great team. Everybody knows it. It is the biggest game of the year on Georgia Tech's calendar, no doubt. And we don't need Roddy Jones here to tell you. Miami is next. Alabama is the opener. I kind of think Appalachian State stands in there as a critical game, though, Pac.
100% agree. Obviously, Alabama will be a big deal. Everybody's fired up for it to see it. D.R. King doing their thing. But you know what? Bama better – you know, you better not put yourself in a position where Bama beat you twice, right? That's the deal. It's one game. Appalachian State's got a tremendous football program. They will be excited to play the Canes. They will circle the calendar and be ready to go. This is a no-joke team. I think this is a scary game if you're Miami, because regardless of outcome against Alabama, good, bad, or indifferent, guess what? Week two's coming. And no matter what you did against Alabama, whether you shocked the world or whether you got your doors blown off, you better be ready to play September the 11th, because Appalachian State will be ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. Michigan State the following week. But the old don't let Alabama beat you twice thing in play probably on September 11th for the Hurricanes. Carolina is next. You can go down this roster and kind of look around and say, okay, Florida State in early October, at Virginia Tech on the Friday night, at Notre Dame Pack on the final Saturday in October. What do you think?
I'm not picking that one. I'm going to pick Miami on the 16th. Now, regardless of what happens in Blacksburg, whether you win big or you lose big, whatever, there's still a long season ahead in the Coastal. And something just tells me North Carolina and Miami is going to have some kind of impact to who shows up in Charlotte. So, yeah, listen, Notre Dame will be a big deal. It's a non-conference game this year. Whatever the Irish do, who knows? There'll be plenty of hype behind it. But quite frankly, North Carolina, Miami, in my opinion, is the game in the Coastal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on October 16th. I think that's a huge day in the Coastal Division. You've also got Pitt, Virginia Tech that same day. Let's go to the Panthers. And it's not October 16th there either. The Miami game on October 30th is the way that one fell. So you went the reverse. If you're Pitt, it's not Virginia Tech on the 16th. It's Miami on the 30th, which is the same day that you've got Carolina, Miami. So interesting, we go Pitt, Miami on the 30th. Mark?
I don't have a problem with that game. Even though I will tell you, I'm very intrigued about September the 11th. The Johnny Majors showdown. Pitt, Rocky Top. Because I'll go back again. It's kind of like NC State, Mississippi State to me. Yeah. It's kind of like Boston College, Missouri to me. There's a number of ACC, SEC matchups that I think are tone setters for the rest of your year. And if Pittsburgh's going to be a team that as good as I think they can be, you know what? You go to Tennessee and you wear them out. Just because Rocky Top, quite frankly, has been garbage for about a decade plus. So that is, to me, one of those kind of games that, you know what, show me something. There's no need to talk it. Go walk it. Same thing with NC State, Mississippi State. Same thing with BC, Missouri. Same thing with that game with Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
And by the way, Tennessee won't think you're any good.
Oh, no.
They won't think you're any good.
No, they'll be
Tennessee,
like,
they will have no idea how good Pitt is.
No, they'll be talking about, oh, yeah, I remember old Tony Dorsett. I mean, that's what you're like, oh, Dan Marino. I mean, guys, he was 400 years ago. And again, Josh Heupel, new man in charge at Tennessee. They're looking, listen, it's a lot of work to be done in Knoxville. So if you're Pittsburgh, explosive offensive team, take it in there, 100,000 people going crazy. Great place to watch a game. Awesome place. Great fans. And you gotta go take care of business in these kind of games. We talked about this the other day. You want to change the narrative of your league? You want to talk about from a national perspective how people start giving you credit? It's got nothing to do with a cool catchphrase. It's got nothing to do with a network or cool commercials. You got to go beat people. Mm-hmm. You got to go beat people. We know what Clemson's all about. We're putting them over there. Hey, Miami. Hey, Florida State. Hey, Pitt. NC State. Yep. North Carolina. Louisville. Everybody get in line. You want to get the narrative changed? Go win those kind of games. That's how it changes.
Yeah. I certainly understand October 30 against Miami, because I think that little quadrant of Virginia Tech and Carolina and Pittsburgh and Miami, the winner of the Coastal's coming out of there, okay? We don't know which one it's going to be. If Virginia Tech, Virginia get in the mix, then we're in for a heck of a ride, right?
Right.
But probably the winner of the Coastal is going to come from that little quadrant. So the 16th and the 30th, yes, those are big deals in the Coastal Division. But I think for the long-term growth of ACC football in terms of important games, Pittsburgh needs to go to Shields-Watkins Field at Neyland Stadium and deliver a message.
Yep.
Just like NC State needs to do it in Starkville, BC needs to do it against Missouri. Some of these other games, Syracuse, Rutgers we're talking about. Couldn't agree more with you, Pac, on that stuff. I really couldn't. Let's go to the Hokies and the Cavaliers here at the back end. Let's start with Virginia. And is it the Commonwealth Cup on the 27th? Pac, I think it is for Bronco Mendenhall. 2 years ago a winner, last year a loser. You wanna get back in the game on that thing, I believe.
I disagree with you. I'm not going to go November 27th. I'm going to go September 18th in Chapel Hill.
Wow, okay.
And I'll tell you why. Number one, we know about North Carolina and the expectation. Number two, I think the one thing Virginia is going to have to start to prove to get into the conversation on a more consistent basis is, can you win on the road? The Hoos have been just fine in Charlottesville. But, man, it has been a difficult chore for Virginia to beat anyone of note on the road. And for that to change, guess what? Would be any better than going to Chapel Hill and beating the team that everybody expects to win the Coastal. So I'm not going to go Virginia Tech, even though it's a huge game in the Commonwealth. I'm going to go North Carolina and Virginia early, early September.
All right. Let's go the Hokies here. September 3rd, Pac?
Yep.
Okay.
I do. I think this is I keep talking about tone setters. Virginia Tech at home, great fans, Lane Stadium, Enter Sandman, Friday night, under the lights. The guy that's coming to town you don't like, and they're expected to be the team to beat. And if you want to be a part of it, this is where it starts. If you're a Hokie, Hokie, Hokie eye. I think Friday night, September 3rd, is the biggest game on the schedule.
6 o'clock kick, Lane Stadium, ESPN, Virginia Tech feels like they got a chance to regain their stride after the missteps of a year ago. And you know you've heard all about Carolina. Improved on defense. Don't want to hear about the offensive firepower that's lost because they feel like they can replace it in a different fashion, perhaps, for Phil Longo. I got to tell you, September 3rd is a big game. That's a big game in the Coastal. That's a big game, period.
Yep, sure is.
So, all right, good stuff. I like it. That was fun to do. And I think you also got to pinpoint and look at the broader scope of the schedule, too. We gave you a lot of games. Maybe theirs wasn't ours. But we certainly showed you a little bit of depth in the ACC schedule this year, too, especially on that Coastal side, Pac.
Yeah, there's some really interesting non-conference games of note. And I can go back to that whole narrative change. That's where it starts. You can go beat somebody up in your league, but if you want the rest of the nation to take notice, you know what? When Virginia plays Illinois, you go beat those guys in the Big Ten. You know, we've talked about a number of ACC-SEC matchups, which are out there as well. So the good news for the conference is there are plenty of opportunities. Now you got to go do it. Got to go win.
No question. All right. When we come back off to Derby City, we ride on the Tuesday show. Cameron Teague covers Louisville for the Courier-Journal. They're building a statue of Lamar Jackson at Cardinal Stadium. What's the reaction to that? And what's Cameron's early expectations for Scott Satterfield's team? That's next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning. Power Hour is upon us. And Wes, we have a gentleman making his debut.
Yes, sir.
Cameron Teague from the Louisville Courier Journal. And I always like guys making their debut because we're always looking for some fresh faces, some new voices. And Cameron, of course, has done a great job covering the Cardinals. And as we discussed leading off the show today, we're going with a little Lamar Jackson statue, which I really, really like this idea.
Well, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and Cameron joins us from Louisville this morning. Cameron, first of all, thanks for the time. I got to believe that the Lamar Jackson statue seems fairly appropriate. Not many guys walking around the campus up there carrying the bronze trophy, so makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is something I think Vince Tyree's had really ideas and plans for a while. I know he's talked to Lamar and his mom and their whole camp about plans to get this done. I will say I don't think there's any kind of necessary timetable on it, but if you're going to make a statue for people in the football program, I think Lamar is definitely one of the guys you got to do.
Cameron, I mentioned earlier, when I think of Lamar Jackson, I go back to that game against Syracuse where he leaped over everything, including the Carrier Dome that night. I don't know what this thing's going to look like, but, man, if that turns out to be the snapshot by which the artist renders this, it's got a chance to be spectacular.
Yeah, I would think that's got to be it. So inside the football facility, so the Howard Snellenberg complex, they have a bust. I don't want to say it's a statue, but it's kind of like a mold of that specific thing of his hurdle. It's pretty impressive. They've added a lot to the inside the football facility, Lamar wise. I think his Heisman trophy's in there as well. But I would think that has to be the image if and when they do one.
Cameron, did I read this right yesterday that they're going to reposition the Johnny Unitas statue that used to be actually inside the stadium, and now with the new end zone structure built, I guess that statue had to be moved anyway. So they're going to reposition that and have an area for the Jackson statue. Will they be together or in different parts of the facility?
I think it's an idea that Vince Tyree's had. I think he wants to have them out front because I think he wants fans to be able to interact with them. I just don't know. I think the question now for it is just when it happens. I think it's just so hard funding wise to fund a statue right now with all the COVID expenses and everything. And I mean, Lowell just laid off a lot of people. So I think Tyree has talked to Lamar and his family in the camp about wanting one. I think their plans are still to kind of figure out and kind of very in the preliminary stages. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's imminent that something's happening. But I know that they are on the same page about 1-1. And if they do, I do think he's going to move Johnny and Lamar out front.
Okay. Cameron, are there any other statues that we need to know about at Louisville? Because we get in these conversations and sometimes we go, you know, they need to put a statue of Joey Schmoe. And you're like, well, they've got one of Joey Schmoe. You know what I mean? So is there anything else that we need to know from a statue perspective at Louisville?
Man, I hope not, because if so, I got more work to do. But I don't think so.
All right. Malik Cunningham was with us on set a couple of weeks ago in Charlotte. And he said to us, Cameron, that if you think Louisville has been fast the last 2 years, you haven't seen anything yet. He thinks this is the fastest Louisville team that he's seen offensively. Is that possible?
I mean, I think so with the guys they have. People rave about Tyler Harrell and the speed he has. I mean, they clocked him at 4.2 during their offseason pro day. I think he was 4.419 with a hand time. Jeez. So, I mean, that speed you've never seen. And people thought 2.2 was fast. And, I mean, there's coaches who say, like, this guy's just – his speed is insane. And then you're adding Braden Smith, who is already a fast guy in the slot. Jordan Watkins, who's already a fast guy, will play inside and outside for receiver. And then you have running backs like Asan Hall, who I think they hope to get back to 2019 form, who's a speedster as well. And they just got a transfer from Syracuse, Jawar Jordan, who's a speedster as well. So they got a lot of speed on offense this year. It's hard to believe that it's more than they had in the past, but they do have a lot of speed right now.
Hmm. Cameron, I think Louisville is a tough team to kind of get your arms around because, number one, when they don't turn the ball over last year, they're a pretty good club. When they turn the ball over, had a hard time beating anybody. What do you think the expectation level for Louisville football is in 21?
Yeah, I think the expectation of Louisville is always at least a bowl game. And I think this group has that. I think that's their floor for me, honestly. I think their ceiling relies on Malik and how he plays. If he can limit the turnovers, and I'll be honest, I think some of the turnovers were unlucky for him last year. There were some drops that led to turnovers, and you're in the red zone and it's fourth down. You got to throw something to the end zone. And so I don't think everything was on him. But if he can limit, especially the fumbles, I think they have a really good shot to win 7 or 8 games. I think the defense will be legit this year. I think the key for them is also turnovers. They got to force more turnovers, and offense has to stop turning the ball over so much.
Hey, Cameron, real quick here. I want to go back to something you just mentioned. Jawar Jordan has transferred. Now, this is what, a day or two ago? This is This is relatively new, correct, in terms of news? Jawar Jordan, who was one of the running backs who opted out, I guess, somewhere along the lines last year for Dino Babers at Syracuse, has now transferred to Louisville, right?
Right, yeah. So Stephen Bailey from Syracuse 24/7 site broke that news the other day. And, I mean, I think that's just another addition for a speedy running back group. I mean, I already mentioned Hassan Hall, but Jordan's right up there as well in terms of speed. You don't know how he's got to get adjusted and get to fall camp, and you don't know how quickly he'll be in the running back rotation. But if he can get adjusted, that's a lot of speed there.
Yeah, he had a knee injury, by the way, Pac, last year, missed the rest of 20. Started out, he was the starting running back in the opening ball game at Carolina a season ago in the COVID year for the Orange. So that's an interesting development, and you're right, another speed guy for what sounds like it'll be a lightning-fast group as it is.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the hope, is that they, one, like you said, don't turn the ball over as much. But, I mean, if speed's there, I think they have a chance to be a pretty good offense.
Camp opens up this weekend, open to the public. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like it. I was actually talking to Tyree and Satterfield yesterday about it. I think it's a good idea. I think because Louisville hasn't had spring games, and the fans have been away for so long. I think it's a good idea for sure.
Hey, it's also a guaranteed signal to the old coach isn't there either. Because the old coach didn't open the building, let alone practice.
Yeah.
So, it's a whole different deal now out there now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I won't ever turn down access to practices. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Love it. By the way, that opener, I said to Wes a while ago, it feels like first to 50. I think Ole Miss can flat out score, and I know Louisville can score. That game's got a chance to have fireworks all over the place on a Monday night.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it will be a good test for Louisville's defense right off the rip. I think you have a secondary that's, especially a safety group, brand new. And I think you hope that this defense can be pretty good. And I think that's the test that you get right out of the gate.
But Cameron, real quick here in parting, Trell Clark, Abdullah, Diaby, Peterson. I mean, there's plenty of experience over there. Avery, those guys, they've all got experience on that side, though, for Brian Brown.
Yeah. No, I think they're really excited about this defense, and for good reason. There's a lot of experience. Then even the new guys are playmakers, exciting playmakers that you're moving in. Monty Montgomery, Kendrick Duncan, Marvin Dallas outside, a linebacker. There's a lot of guys on that defense that I think excite this group. And they think it could be a top 30 defense this season.
All right. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. Cameron Teague covers Louisville for the Louisville Courier-Journal, and we appreciate his time. So there we go.
Wes,
yes, sir.
Sunday, camp opens up, open to the public. I'm just saying, you got to watch a little football, a little brown water, one ice cube.
Oh, jeez.
Huh? I'm just saying. I mean, you're in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, in the mood for a little football.
Open to the public. Sunday?
I'm just saying, if I was a local, I believe I'd venture out there with an ice cube and see what's going on. That sounds like that you don't get access to that very often in college football. And so that's kind of a cool idea, I think. Like it.
Take your lawn chair there, Mr. Packer. Get a lawn chair.
If you believe that you're going to be there long enough and you can't stand and you might need to double fist something out there, you might want to do that. I'm just saying, that might be in one ice cube and go watch some Cardinal football.
I can see the boys in Bristol rolling their eyes right now.
Roll their eyes all they want. I'm just saying, if I lived in Louisville and I was excited about Cardinal football, let's let it rip. I got a chance to go out there, put my feet up, pair of shorts, baseball hat, one ice cube, go watch some Malik Cunningham football. Man, let's do it.
Maybe on Friday we get Vince Tyree to let us know if you've got like a special area where you can bring your folding chair and your here you are fresh off the variant with your ice cube and your cup of brown water.
I'm just saying, if it's open to the public, you're not causing any problem. People know how to handle themselves. Sunday afternoon, beautiful day in Louisville.
Yeah, little ball.
Go watch some ball. Go have a cocktail and go watch some football.
That's it, yeah. All right.
You mean, you got to start pacing yourself as a fan. Because after what we went through last year with COVID, a lot of folks didn't have a chance to go and partake. You also have to go open your camp and start pacing yourself.
Your own conditioning program,
It's all part of the deal. You can't just go, hey, man, football season starts this weekend and go in there at 100 miles an hour. No, 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 no. You got to pace yourself a little bit. That's part of the deal. I like that idea at Louisville. I love that. I love the statue idea, and I like the open camp. Fans want to show up, let's go.
For those of you who may have been concerned about Mark's return to health, let me assure you this idea right here proves he is more than ready to bounce back and be a meaningful part of public.
I have already given Vince, Coach Scott Satterfield, any Louisville fan, our idea for spring 22.
Oh, no. No, no.
What do you mean?
We got to go to break.
No.
We're going to break.
I have already suggested we push back the Louisville spring game to the last Saturday in April so we could stay there for the entire week in May, which leads right into the little thing called the Derby.
Yeah.
Which, ESPN lets me go sponsor it, I'll go get Woodford Reserve tomorrow. Now, that thing's sold.
There we go. Yeah. All right. We're back. Took a day and three quarters of a show. We are back. Yeah, thank you for rolling that.
Name, image, and likeness.
Chrissy,
style.
Thank you. Thank you for rolling that video. We are back talking about NIL, and we will do that in just a moment here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Durham on a Tuesday, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Nothing but ideas, just throwing them up there, see where it goes.
How's that going?
Well, you know, we just started, didn't we? I mean, it's August 3rd. We got a lot of We got work to do.
Tell you what else has just started. Name, image, and likeness is about 32 days old. And on3.com is a brand new website that launched over the summer. It's got some tremendous writing on it. Ivan Mazo, one of our former colleagues at ESPN, is involved in it. Saw him in Charlotte. Said, "Tay, hello too, Pac." They have produced numbers on the NIL agreements of Division I and have come up with roughly 1% of all athletes in the influencer community. And that's Jim Cavale's company that does such a marvelous job with these institutions said that Jim Cavale has reported 1% of all athletes in their community have engagement, name, image, and likeness. 34% of those guys were football players. The average transaction value is about $923, Mark. But there are some that are low six figures, too, it looks like.
Well, I like the graphic there, ranging from zero to six figures. everything ranges from zero, doesn't it, at some point in time? To me, that number right there is a really interesting number, $923. Now, I know folks have heard stories about six-figure contracts and this, and that, and that's all fine and good.
Right.
And I said earlier to you today about this whole deal that I think it's almost comical. Some folks had just thought the world was ending when name, image, and likeness was announced on July the 1st. And, you know, we're going about our business. And again, kids have an opportunity if they have an entrepreneurial flair and there is a demand for their services to make money. I don't have a problem with it. And when you start talking about 500,000 student athletes under the umbrella, how many are really, truly going to have some impact and effect? You hope they all can make something on the side, but that I don't think is being realistic. And when you see a number like that, that the average transaction is $923, great, awesome, go for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to also, number one, go to class, get your degree, hopefully, and you've got to put in the work. And if you do, and you can produce on the field or on the court or whatever sport it happens to be, there will be more opportunities for you. But, you know, name, image, and likeness cannot be the cake. It has to be the icing. And that's the kind of way I look at it.
The number here maybe catches my eyes. I thought that half, at least half, would be football or men's and women's basketball. It's not quite. It's 47%. 20% were female athletes. 34% of the NIL deals done are with football players. Are we thinking that basketball will happen as basketball happens? Are we thinking that because it was July 1, football takes the lead on this?
I think it's just the start. I mean, you know, this is a cool conversation because it gives you a snapshot after all the hype and expectations of what this was going to be. You kind of get a feel for, all right, this is what it looks like after 1 month. Now, it will grow, I think, in my opinion. And again, I think once we get into hoop season, you'll start seeing more players talked about, both on the male and female side. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be one of these all-world game changers where people were just totally freaked out. Like, oh, my God, boosters are going to be involved. And, you know, people are going to be just out there in the wild, wild west buying guys left and right. You know, at some point in time, you know, we kind of get back to what we do. And that's true whether we're talking about coaches or players or broadcasters. And, you know, again, this to me has got to be the side piece. As I said a second ago, it can't be the cake, but it could certainly be icing. And, you know, down the road again, and there will be some guys and some ladies that make a ton of cash, and good for them. There'll be a demand for it. But for every one of those, like I said, I could probably give you 10 to 20,000 student athletes that are just looking for a free pizza.
Yeah. The 1% of the 1% are these six-figure deals. There's no doubt about that. And higher, whatever the case may be. But it also begs you, when you see this and you talk about the limited number of options or people that may be involved in this, at least through the first 30 days, I think it would be interesting to watch the growth of this. Where is it in 6 months? Where is it in 9 months or a year, Pac?
Well, like I said, I mean, this is basically a new business. And like any other new business, hey, you'll go through some highs and some lows, but hopefully it grows. And student-athletes figure out a way to take more of an advantage of this. Again, I'm not a social media nut, as you well know. And a lot of this is going to be heading in that direction. So I suspect it will improve for student-athletes as we move on. That'd be my guess.
Would you do this if you had a business?
Sure. I'd do it now. What are you talking about? I mean, and I listen, when I was in college, I had an entrepreneurial flair. I liked it. I enjoyed creating stuff. And so, yeah, if I was in my college days, I would be loving everything about this. Everything. So, yeah.
What did you create in college?
Oh, you don't want to know. You really don't want to know. But I love the whole entrepreneurial thing.
Wait, what do you mean we don't want to know?
You really don't want to know. You don't want to know. We created all kinds of stuff. Different era, Wes. Different era. The 80s, totally different. Listen, we just celebrated MTV.
Oh, I know the 80s were different.
We just celebrated MTV 40 years ago launching, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
40 years ago. I mean, it was just a whole new era.
Yeah, it was. Right?
Totally
yes,
different
it was.
World. Totally
oh,
different
boy.
World.
Unbelievable. You're not kidding. All right. More to come. We have got more to go here on this Tuesday edition. When we come back, we have your reactions to statues at your campus on the news that Lamar Jackson is going to be permanently honored at Cardinal Stadium. Some of the guys got floors. They don't need a statue. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Statues, statues, statues. You know, you just mentioned, Wes, some of these guys have courts named after. Would you rather have a statue or the court named after you, or a field? If you had your druthers, we're going to do the West Durham fill in the blank. Would you rather have a court, the field, or a statue? Which one do you want?
I think I'd rather have the field or the court.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I said, the statue bothers me a little bit because there's not many that I've seen that I go, man, that looks just like Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Nick Saban statue came out, and I was like, I have no idea who that is. Yeah. Oh, that's Coach. Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, field in the court, you can't screw that up.
Yeah,
field in the court, you can't mess it up.
You put your, you know, John Hancock out there, and it looks great and all that cool stuff. But but it just sits there, though, Wes. You know, Coach K's got a court. Think collects dust for 10 months.
Bobby Kremen's got a court. Roy Williams got a court.
That's what I'm saying. But it just kind of sits there and collects dust for the most part when it's non-seasonal.
Jim Boeheim's got a court.
Right. I'm just asking. Would you rather have a statue or a field or a court named after you?
I don't know. Let's see what the fans say. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's some social media reaction. We basically said, and with the news Lamar Jackson getting a statue at Louisville, we basically said, your favorite school and the statue you'd like to see. And we got several great answers. Agent ZWL said he's a Florida State grad, and he'd like to see Warwick Dunn because of his philanthropy. I'll say there's a good one.
That is a good idea.
2-8 has been the man when it comes to his homes. And just an amazing, amazing thing he's done in this world.
And he has been tremendous and is a class act. You know, Dr. Roll would be another interesting Florida State, given the world that we live in now and what he's been doing to protect all of us, not to mention what an incredible athlete he was on top of it.
Yep.
It'd be another good one.
Let's see. Another suggestion came in. Nobody more deserving in the ACC that doesn't already have one than Mickey Andrews. That came from Sanctified Seminole. I think when you go beyond the head coach, the AD, the singular iconic player, that's when you get into some interesting discussions within the walls of those athletic buildings and those institutions.
Well,
having sat in a couple of them, I'll tell you, though, they are deserving, but does it happen? I don't know, because it opens up doors to others. And quite frankly, as Cameron Teague just said, you got to raise the money for all those things.
That's true. You know, when I saw that tweet with Mickey Andrews, the first thing that popped in my head was Bud Foster at Virginia Tech.
That's right. That was also suggested earlier by someone on Twitter, too, that if you had the Frank Beamer, you might want to have the Bud Foster. In this case, you have Bobby Bowden. Would you want Mickey Andrews? America 1970 on Twitter suggests Lethal Weapon 3. Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott, and Brian Oliver should get statues around McCamish Pavilion and Alexander Coliseum. Now, they play on Cremen's Court in Atlanta. Yeah, that's right, Mark, on my floor. Do we put the Lethal Weapon 3 up there? That's, you talk about iconic players in Georgia Tech history. That's clearly three of them. By the way, I saw Cremen's in Charlotte a couple weeks ago. Really concerned. He was very concerned about you.
He was?
Bobby? Yeah, yeah. Saw Bobby. He was very concerned.
He just, coach is the best. Love old Bobby
Cremen's. Love Bobby. We got to get Bobby back on. George P. Burdell. Now, this is a Georgia Tech fictitious character, as you know, Pac, right? You realize George P. Burdell never existed, but somehow managed to be registered for every class at Georgia Tech in the 1940s, I think.
And that's not happening.
No, that's not happening, because you can't build a statue to somebody that nobody's ever seen. KMD10 says Pittsburgh already has a street name for Tony Dorsett, so let's have a statue for Dan Marino, Mark.
That's I haven't been back to Pittsburgh recent enough to know what is, like I said, you got to know what's still there, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of surprised that there isn't a little bit more of a Dan Marino love fest there, given what he was able to accomplish in every sense of the word.
Yeah. Let's go to Jake. Jake says that the Frank Beamer and Bud Foster built the program. Here's the one we were talking about earlier from Jake. Said, only makes sense for the greatest defensive coordinator of all time to have one.
Like I said, when I saw the Mickey Andrews tweet, that's the first thing that popped in my head was Coach Foster, and what an incredible job he did with that tandem.
Yeah. Another one came in from JB, the only NFL player to have 200 career sacks is Bruce Smith. So there's one. NC State fan says, for Pac football, it has to be Rivers and or Torrey Holt. Rivers has the only 10-win season in program history. Holt won the Super Bowl. Both potential Hall of Famers. David Thompson, by the way. Now, see, there's one.
How's that?
Mark. Well, two-time number one pick, greatest college basketball player ever, and then Elliott Avin, old Niner, needs to get one too in his mind outside Doak Field. We also had a suggestion from Alex Purcell that said Trey Turner and Carlos Rodon deserve one.
No.
Outside the Doak Field.
No.
Trey Turner's on the list now,
no,
Alex.
Trey Turner is not going to be on my list.
No, he's now on your list for support that, right?
No, yeah. I am not going to support that under any circumstance. Anybody that gets traded to the L.A. Dodgers.
To the Dodgers, I knew it.
You think I'm going to jump on that bandwagon, you're out of your mind. I'm not that sick. Sorry, Trey Turner, not rooting for you. Good player, all that good stuff, but not rooting for you.
All right.
When you were with Washington, I got no issue with you.
Right. But
I support you. Now, today, this second?
Nah. No. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I knew this was coming. Sorry. All right. Jeff Heintz says that Clemson should have a statue of Danny Ford kneeling from the sideline with his windbreaker and Block C ball cap.
You know what? I got to tell you, when this topic came up with Lamar Jackson, I did think about Danny Ford at Clemson. I did. And Jeff is spot on in terms of the image of chaw in mouth, the old Block C, rolled up sleeves, spitting on the field, youngster people. Yes, sir. I'm surprised. You know, I don't even know if there's a statue. I don't think there is. Frank Howard, Danny Ford, I don't think that exists there.
Coach Howard doesn't have a statue. He's got a rock.
Well, he's got the field, Frank Howard Field.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, the field, and the rock.
Yeah. Coach got everything. You remember what's going on down there, boys? But I'm surprised that there hasn't been a Danny Ford something in Tigertown. Surprised.
Yeah. Tom H.
Maybe a couple giant hemp plants. How about that for Danny?
Just stop.
Well, I mean, that's what he's a farmer down there. He's one of South Carolina's famous farmers. Hemp people.
I'm going to fast forward here to the back end. Dana Holzbert suggests Aaron Mattson, and they should already be building it.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe buy the Froyo yogurt joint, the Aaron Mattson statue.
Yeah.
A little name, image, and likeness. Tie the whole thing in together.
Yeah.
No, she's a superstar.
These are all great, by the way. These answers have been really good. You know, yesterday you mentioned Jerry York at Boston College. BC's getting ready to celebrate their 100th season of ice hockey, right?
Right. I thought Jerry York, again, I have no – there may be something there. I have no earthly idea. But Jerry York would be a good one. In my opinion, I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer, multi-Hall of Famer, and one of the all-time best ever in BC hockey, which, you know, we support it big time.
Yeah.
We got our sweaters. We're good to go. How about Howard Schnellenberger?
I think that names on buildings sometimes cross the honor line where statues sometimes go, you know? I mean, Bobby Bowden has a statue in a field. We mentioned Coach Howard's got the rock in the field. Bobby Dodd has a statue in a field in Atlanta, right there along Bobby Dodd Way. He's got a statue, a field, and a street. Bobby Dodd does at Georgia Tech. Howard Schnellenberger, to me, deserves plenty. At
He'd
two schools in the ACC, by
That's
the way.
That's right, Miami-Louisville combination. Plus, here's the other thing, Wes. Given the old pipe, man, you could come up with a really cool statue of Coach. I mean, that one would be cool. It would be dignified and certainly well-deserved, needless to
say,
with what he accomplished.
Ralph Sampson at Virginia, to me, Pac, just feels like something there ought to happen. Three-time National Player of the Year. I mean, easily one of the greatest college players of all time.
Plus, if you did one, the statue actually needs to be life size, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yes. I mean, it's got to be 7'4". Yeah. There's Ralph right there, man.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a
– David Thompson at NC State, Wes.
David Thompson.
Man, come on now. Come on.
Tim Duncan at Wake Forest, Mark, to be honest with you. Tim Duncan stayed 4 years, man.
Yeah. Billy Packer at Wake Forest.
Easy. Easy. Easy.
No.
Billy wouldn't want that. All right.
Billy wouldn't want that under any
circumstance. That's
ever.
Right. Thanks to Pat Narduzzi, Nakai Montgomery, Cameron Teague. By the way, the ACC football road trip starts tomorrow in Raleigh. Katie George and Eric McClain will be there at NC State. Maybe we get a preview on tomorrow's show. Chrissy, Drew, Josh, thanks, everybody. Great day. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for another edition of Packer and Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.